We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo on a Monday morning. ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Trey Wingo here. Junior is still out gallivanting on a little vacation. He'll be back with us a little bit later on this week. A lot to digest, man. We were about to call it a night last night, getting ready to look, going over the show. We'll talk this, and then wait a minute. Bing! Cam Newton. Damn, signs with the Patriots, and that has been a sporting gift that we will gladly take and run with for the next few days.
Yeah, it really, really is. It's and again, he was one of the teams we had talked about when Cam had been available out there, and he hadn't signed. We thought, oh no, what's going to happen? Is we going to have to wait until an injury once training camp starts because nobody can work him out? It's one thing to get a physical. We've seen players get physicals, but it's another thing. Were you going to be able to work him out in any kind of situation? And the answer was going to be no.
Right.
So we thought he was going to have to wait until Cam started and maybe another quarterback got hurt. But then there's Bill Belichick doing Bill Belichick things where everybody else just goes, huh, okay, why did he do that? Why didn't he do that before? Why did he do it now? Well, he's done it now. So Cam Newton, and while we had Mike Reese on, our Patriots reporter said it's going to be considered an open competition, and you know that's what you'll get from Bill.
Sure.
You know, best player wins and all that, but Cam Newton's going to be the starter for New England Patriots. Now, he does have to pick up a new offense, and
there's very limited offseason.
Very limited time. The first time they'll be together physically will be that July 28th when they report to camp. So, from that part of it, I could see that being, you know, a bit of a process.
Yeah.
Shortened preseason as well, but you know there'll be a lot of time on the practice field and in the film room and how they do their business there. And Cam understands what this is all about as well, and what it means for him. It's a one-year deal. So prove you can stay healthy, prove you can still play well, and see what happens from there.
And again, we'll have Matt Cassel, former Patriots quarterback, on in just about a half an hour to talk about that and what he thinks his expectations are for Cam Newton in New England. But we're also continuing to see, Mike, how rapidly things can change in this country and how much more players, specifically college players, are understanding the power they have and the platform available to them. What happened last week, Kylan Hill, the running back from Mississippi State, basically said, I can't represent this state anymore if we have a state flag that has the Confederate symbol on it. And lo and behold, the eight major universities, all in the state of Mississippi, all went together last week, I believe it was on Thursday, to petition the state legislator that we've got to remove that symbol and that Confederate flag from the state flag of Mississippi. And lo and behold, guess what happened? Over the weekend, that legislation passed, and that emblem will be removed. The Confederate flag emblem will be removed from Mississippi state flag. So for more on this and how quickly all this has changed, we're delighted to be joined by Kermit Davis, the Ole Miss men's basketball coach. Kermit, thanks for being with us this morning. First of all, were you surprised at how quickly this thing, which has been a part of the state flag for a long time, there's been a discussion about it, how quickly this moved to resolution?
Yeah, Trey, it was a welcoming sight, you know, as a native Mississippian born and raised in the state, and to see, you know, young people, athletic administrations, our legislation, the House and Senate acted real quickly. So it was a great day for our state that because everyone knew, we knew that we needed a flag to represent all of our citizens, need a flag to represent our students in state, out of state, a flag to represent our student athletes. And so it was, you know, we've all done some different things in college coaching that we've enjoyed, but I don't know if I've ever had a more gratifying day to be a small part of change in our state.
And along those lines, as you said, you were born and raised there, and neither at Mississippi State or Ole Miss, that flag hasn't flown there since, I think, 2015 or 2016. Why did this happen now, and why didn't this happen sooner?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. I think you just saw that, you know, our legislation was a big part, but it's the power of athletics. And our commissioner, Greg Sankey, came out and took a position you know, there was going to be no SEC regionals, no SEC championships in our state if the flag was flying. And then Mark Emmert with NCAA came out and said the same thing of NCAA regionals. And then Colin Hill came out, and then I think it was 46, you know, coaches and administrators. It was all the schools. It was Ole Miss State, Southern Miss, Jackson State, Mississippi Valley, Alcorn State, and others. So I do. I just think it's the power of our voice and what's going on in our country right now. But it was sure a welcoming change for all of us.
Kermit Davis was the Ole Miss basketball coach and the 2019 SEC Coach of the Year, we should point out, part of the many people that lobbied and lobbied successfully for the state of Mississippi to change that flag. I'm just curious, Coach, what did it mean when you found out it was a former Ole Miss guard, Blake Hinson, who said the Confederate symbol on the state flag was one of the reasons he decided to transfer away from Ole Miss and go to Iowa State?
Yeah, you know, and I think, Trey, it's just great for us that now we can just move forward, you know, and that the flag issue is behind us. You know, Blake was with us for 2 years, and, you know, we want every basketball player that comes to Ole Miss and Oxford to have a great experience. I mean, basketball-wise, academically, socially, that's our main concern. And, you know, Blake and I never had a discussion in probably a month that we were talking about the possibility of him transferring. We never had a discussion about the flag. I would have welcomed that. It was just strictly basketball. But we wish Blake the best. And like I said, we're just glad it's changed and we're moving forward.
Coach, we know nothing is 100% on one side all the time. And right. There are going to be people that are angry that this has happened as well. Have you heard from any of those? And what are people saying?
I'm sure there are, Mike. You know, I've had nothing but positive response and from our Ole Miss community. I mean, it's been great. And throughout the state of just pals that, whether it's Southern Miss grads, Mississippi State grads, just proud Mississippians that we're moving forward with the change. But it's like any decision like that. I'm sure there's different sides to it. But as far as me personally, we need a change. And that was the main thing. And so we're moving forward. But I think what you saw, I mean, whether the Senate yesterday, almost in a standing ovation, how excited that they were. Everybody knows if we're trying to grow, and let's just forget about athletics. If we're just trying to grow from a business standpoint, an educational standpoint of growth, we had to have a flag that unites people and not a flag. I mean, you said it. We haven't flown the flag at Ole Miss since 2016. So why have a state flag you're not proud to fly?
That's a great point. And again, the speed with which this happened was really amazing, as Kermit Davis is with us. And Coach, it sort of lends to the next question, which is the changing landscape of college sports, not only because of the pandemic, which we'll get into in a minute, but players are understanding the power they have. You know, we've seen this, whether it was the running back at Oklahoma State with Chuba Hubbard when he was upset with something that Mike Gundy, his football coach, wore as a shirt, and the things that network represented to him, it sparked real conversations. We saw a linebacker at Florida State have to have a sit-down or form a sit-down with his new head football coach at Florida State because there was a misconception about how a message that was put out there that he had spoken to all the players. As a coach in a Power 5 conference, how important is it now for you to recognize that these college players are understanding that their platform is powerful and can lead to positive change?
Yeah, I think it's one of the greatest things that I've seen. I think this will be my 38th year in college basketball, is just the voice of young people and how I've been so proud of our student athletes at Ole Miss in all sports. We had a unity march, how they've spoken up. They've led rallies. They've led very peaceful protests, but strong, powerful rallies. I think it's such a welcoming thing to see the young people around our country, both black and white, unite together and march and use their voice and their platform. And I think as we all get older, guys, I mean, we hear it all the time. You've heard coaches say it over and over, and I'm one of them. We become such better listeners to our players, more knowledgeable about the process. And but I am. I'm proud of all the young student athletes that use it because we welcome that.
Kermit Davis joining us, Ole Miss head basketball coach. You mentioned 38 years, his first coaching gig, 1983, an assistant at Mississippi State, born and raised in Leakesville, Mississippi, joining us here on Golic and Wingo. And there's that side of it. And then, oh, by the way, there's a pandemic going on that the colleges, everybody, and then we, in our world of sports, has to deal with. So talk to us about We know football players have started to come back in a lot of places this June. We know basketball comes back in the summer, men's and women's. Where are you with that? Have your players started to come back? If so, how is that going? If not, when? And what are the testing procedures?
Yeah, Mike, I think we have 11 players back today. We have two more to get in. All of them have tested. You know, at Ole Miss, every student athlete administrator that comes on is tested for the COVID and the antibodies. Knock on wood, we've had all 11 people test negative. All of our staff members in the building have been negative, and so that's good. And it's all in an voluntary stage right now. Strength and conditioning coach, what we were able to get into our practice facility in small numbers. We do have managers, you know, with masks and gloves that can rebound balls. So it's all individual specific. The one thing, we have such great leadership with our chancellor and Dr. Boyce and our athletic director, Keith Carter. And I think you can see it. Our SEC leadership is phenomenal with Greg and his staff. And so they're kind of leading. I mean, right now our position is that we are doing everything we can to try to play football with 50% occupancy. That's our goal. And for straight now, you know, from our chancellor and Keith. And we know the numbers are on the rise. I think the best thing, guys, that we can do, and we're going to have a meeting with our team again this morning at 9, just to go back over the protocol of our building, is go slow early. Well, hopefully we can play fast late. We all got to slow down and be very cautious of protocol. Because the biggest thing is we've got to do a great job to get all of our students back on our campuses, you know, to get it back going again, hopefully in a safe way.
What are your concerns? Because, again, there are decision makers above you that would decide how this all goes. Your concern of the want so badly to have sports, because we know what they bring, especially in college sports, the want to have them happen and the need to really be careful and have that line of, okay, we've gone too far and this needs to stop.
Yeah, you know, I just think people, like, I wished I had the answers, you know, that obviously a lot smarter than me in that area. I'll have to make those decisions. All I know is that we just got to do a good job, myself, just in my little world, of running the building that I'm responsible for with our student athletes and making sure we do go slow. And I think we all, gosh, we miss sports and we watch your shows and you guys have done such a great job of just, you know, almost creating things to talk about because we'd be right in the middle of baseball, a lot of different things right now. So we do. It's a country that loves the entertainment, part of sports, obviously in the southeastern region, how big college football and the start of basketball can be for all of our campuses. And I guess we just have to wait and see. And I know one thing, the SEC is at the forefront of trying to do it safely, but trying to be aggressive to put people, hopefully some people in the stands to watch college football in September.
Well, listen, Coach, if you've already had all those people come back and not test positive, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, you
man.
Are.
Celebrate
that. We're lucky,
that.
Man. We're lucky. Yeah. I promise you, I knock on wood every time I say it because it is. It's just going to happen. And I think the biggest question I've heard you guys discuss in a bunch on your show is, you know, just how do we – can we continue to go on when you have people test positive and how does a sport continue? And I think that's our biggest question we all have in all of our sports.
Yep, and that is the great unknown. We go into this eyes wide open and fingers crossed more than anything
exactly
else.
Right.
But impressive display of change at a rapid fashion in the state of Mississippi. Coach, we appreciate the time this morning. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Thanks,
no
Coach.
Problem.
It was quick.
It was amazing. I mean, it was amazing how quickly that changed. It was great to have Kermit on. Not only is he the Ole Miss coach, but he's a Mississippi native.
Yes, he is.
You know?
So
he's dealt with that in that state for a long, long time. And to see how quickly the legislature changed that as well. So we're moving forward, and we'll see what happens with the new state flag going forward with the state of Mississippi. So that's moving forward in Mississippi and in college sports. And we're moving forward with the NBA getting ready for the bubble environment in Florida. And again, things are changing rapidly because the whole idea of going to Florida was about a month ago on May 25th. The coronavirus cases in Florida were very low and there was a low transmission rate, all that kind of stuff. State opened back up. Some social distancing wasn't being practiced by a lot of people. And now we're seeing an incredible daily spike in the amount of coronavirus cases in the state of Florida, albeit not so much in Orlando, more it's in southern Florida and Dade County, which is in the Miami area, but still a virus can spread. And so we're seeing a real change in the state of Florida in terms of their ability to handle the coronavirus. So Adam Silver on an NBA commissioner, an NBA conference call with the NFL Players Association basically said, yeah, as we get set to head down there, our concern level is rising.
The level of concern has increased, not just because of the increased levels in Florida, but throughout the country. At least today, I believe 29 of the 50 states have an increased number of cases. Of course, we designed our campus, in essence, to isolate ourselves from whatever the level of cases was in the surrounding community. But since we placed our original, since we designed our initial protocol, we are continuing to work with Disney on the testing of at least a subset of their employees.
So again, the latest player would be Wilson Chandler from the Nets has decided not to join his team, the Nets, down in Orlando. He cited his grandmother who raised him and his three children as the primary reason for sitting out. So he's doing it for the health concerns. And that is what Adam Silver said there. That's the worry, right? You can test all the players. And right. The players at this point being tested before they all go down there has been about a 5% positive rate. And again, if they're testing before they go down there, we've already heard a couple of them say that they should be past it and through it and back to normal by the time their team goes down. And they've said, we look forward to being with our teams down in Orlando. So a lot of them, you know, those guys are still going to go. But then the problem is, okay, if you get in that bubble with the negative tests, then what happens? Because the bubble isn't a perfect bubble.
No, it's
a perfect bubble would be.
Someone said it's a mesh hat.
It's like a mesh hat, yeah. Because the workers there, from the restaurants to the hotels where they're staying, and all the things they're going to be doing, there are going to have to be people there that are working, running those things. Yeah. They are going to be Disney employees, but they are not in the bubble. They go home and then they come in, and there's the security there to make sure it's just them that comes in. But that which is fine. But they're still going outside the bubble and then coming back inside the bubble. And that's what you heard Adam talking about there, is trying to be more strict on that. And that's going to be testing. Have to test those people. And I don't know where that is right now, because that's going to be the biggest worry, is bringing that COVID into that bubble.
And the hard part, too, is that this affects so many different people so incredibly differently. Like, we had, 302 NBA players tested. I think 16 tested positive, most of them asymptomatic. But then you have the two teammates that sort of got this whole thing started, right? Rudy Gobert,
right,
and Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert tested positive. He was sort of joking about it, which led to some people being angry, and that led to Donovan Mitchell testing. Rudy Gobert lost his sense of taste and his sense of smell. And 3 months later, Rudy Gobert says, my sense of taste has returned, but my sense of smell still hasn't right. all the way. And he says, I feel weird sometimes, but I don't know if it's because of the coronavirus still lingering or whether or not I just haven't worked out enough.
Right.
And Donovan Mitchell, his teammate who tested positive that same day or the day after, never had a symptom.
Right.
I mean, that's the weird part about this, is you can't say if you get this virus, X, Y, and Z will happen to you. Because we've seen this run across the spectrum, from people having no issues with it and significant issues with it, depending on who you are and how it affects you.
Listen, I know we're saying basically the same thing over and over again. It's we just have to wait and see. MLS, which is going to play down in Disney as well, they've had under a 3% positive test rate, which is a great percentage for them. Again, while they're going down there, remember the WNBA is going to be in Bradenton at the IMG Academy in Florida. So this is you know, we talked about the long runway for sports, especially right. football. We're about there. As July is going to bring the start of, as we already saw, the first team sport starting is the Women's Soccer League, which right. is playing in Utah, their tournament. And now we are starting to ramp up amidst many positive tests in sports and a lot outside of sports in these particular states as well. So I know we may sound like a broken record, but it's just waiting and waiting. And I really think we say fingers crossed and hope that really is going to be a lot of it. I mean, you're starting your seasons under a cloud.
Right.
And it is a hell of a dangerous cloud that could be hanging over all our heads.
So what's really interesting, I'm going to play these two things back to back for you here. What are the odds these things actually begin and they finish? So here was Brian Windhorst, our fine NBA insider, on with Dari and Mel on ESPN Radio, basically giving his odds on the NBA starting and the NBA finishing.
What is the your percent confidence in that the NBA season does start?
100.
What is your confidence level in that this season ends in a championship?
90.
So that's
good.
Starting what, at the end of July,
right?
Like July 30th and then ending in October.
The latest it could go would be October 14th.
October 14th. So 90% it start, or 100% it starts, 90% it does, it will finish as well. And then there's baseball, which is supposed to start July 23rd, 24th, and also run into October as well with a shortened season. Buster Olney with Dari and Mel as well asked the same question about baseball.
How confident are you that this season gets finished?
0%. Absolutely 0% based on what I'm hearing.
How confident are you that this season gets started with actual games?
I would put that at 5%. I think that they're going to at least try in the next couple of weeks, but I, especially in the face of these, spiking numbers, it wouldn't surprise me if it derails quickly.
We don't mean to kind of laugh when we did. I mean, oh my God.
It's just funny. The discrepancy.
Obviously the biggest difference is one group is all together in one spot. The rest, baseball, like college football, like the NFL, are going to be in their home places, and they're going to be traveling all over the place. So, like business as usual, at least with the NBA, it's not business as usual, as everybody is in one spot, still susceptible to the outside people coming into that bubble. But baseball is going to be right there doing their thing, and we know about a couple of teams in Florida, a couple of teams in Texas, handful in California. Man, I mean, Buster is not confident at all.
Those two predictions are like one of my favorite sayings. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's what we're seeing
and
right
all
there.
All I have in my mind, because we were given it, was that July 23rd is not a full slate of games, but the marquee game set for that day, Yankees at Nationals, Max Scherzer against Garrett Cole. I mean, what a vision in your head to start a shortened season, but what a way to start it. That, of course, Buster says there's a 5% chance
that we
of
see that
even
game
happening.
And we eat 0%. In other words, we have no chance at seeing a World Series champion. Buster, man, why are you bringing me down?
Well, listen, we asked, right?
Yeah, we did.
We asked, and that's what
And
he
you
said.
Guys all laughed at me when I said baseball is back, maybe? I was on Team Buster before anybody.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, so we got to get to the next thing, which is Cam Newton maybe cashing in after a successful year with New England Patriots as going to be their starting quarterback. He's signed with them. So is it possible that you could play 1 year and then cash out? Yeah, it is. In fact, we'll talk to someone who did just that with the New England Patriots. We'll get to him next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
So Cam Newton is excited. I think the Patriot fan base is excited. Not that they weren't excited about Jared Stidham. We understand that, but Cam is much more of a proven commodity.
I would say so, yes.
So what are realistic expectations not only for Cam, but also for the Patriots, for someone who is thrust into the starting quarterback position for New England? If only we could talk to somebody who's lived through that exact same experience. Oh, wait, we can. We're delighted to be joined now by Matt Cassel, longtime NFL quarterback, and, of course, the man who stepped in week one of the regular season in 2008 when Tom Brady went down with a torn ACL against the Chiefs and helped lead the Patriots to an 11-5 season and then himself to a $63 million contract in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt Cassel is with us this morning. Matt, thanks. Good morning. We appreciate your time and your perspective. So what were your initial thoughts when you heard Cam Newton signing with Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
You know what? I think it was a great sign, to be honest with you. It brings, obviously, experience to that room. This guy's not very far removed from being an MVP. Obviously, you've probably talked about it with his injuries that he's had. But if he comes back healthy, on a mission, motivated, ready to go, this is a great situation for Cam Newton because, you know, Josh McDaniels and what he's able to do with that offensive structure and how he's able to put people in a great position to be successful and utilize their strengths. I think it'll be really, really amazing to watch this tandem work. And he's such a dynamic, amazing athlete that in his capabilities and set of abilities is just unique. And I think that they'll do a great job with him.
Talk about, let's go back to your year as Trey set up, you know, in that first game. And we always know that backup quarterback is one play away from being the starter. And you found that out in 2008. So talk about that year, not only the chance you got, but boy, the door it opened up for you from the financial side of it as well in pro sports.
Oh, there's no doubt. I was on my last year of my rookie contract and I was planning on probably just being a backup and hopefully somebody else was going to give me a shot. But until that moment, I wasn't going to get an opportunity. And then, of course, I was thrust into action. And I think that, like I said before, Belichick and Josh McDaniels do such a good job of managing that quarterback position, especially for a guy like myself, where we went in and we slowly started to every week add more plays and do that. But it was really they kind of dumbed down the game plan early on to let me get comfortable. But they also played to my strengths, like I said before, when they do a good job of always changing formations. Like I was more comfortable in 3-by-1 versus 2-by-2 in 2 minutes. So they'd make that quick adjustment for me. And so we stayed in 3-by-1 formations and they did it because they thought that we'd be more successful. We were. And then as that year went on and we started to have more success, it just, it changed my life, changed my perspective and my entire NFL career.
Yeah, Matt Cassel with us, former Patriots quarterback. Again, before he jumped into the game week two to start, I believe that week two game was against the Jets. Was it not, Matt?
It was for first game in the Meadowlands against Brett Favre and the Jets.
Yeah, before that, he had not started a game since high school because he went to USC and did not start a game at USC. And then, of course, his next starting game is NFL with Brett Favre's. I think that was Brett Favre's home debut also against the Jets.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that about the formations because one of the things that I looked at right away, Matt, when I saw the signing, I went back to that 2016 game week three when Jacoby Brissett was forced on a short week to start against the Houston Texans. And that game, they went, the Texans lost to the Patriots 27-0. And there were 8 designed quarterback runs for Jacoby Brissett. And the Patriots completely changed their game plan from the week before when Jimmy Garoppolo was the starting quarterback in a win against the Dolphins because they knew what Jacoby was and what he wasn't and how they could exploit his talents best. And with that in mind, how much do you think that's going to play a part in what changes with this offense? And quite frankly, the way the Patriots offense has really been changing the last couple of years, very run specific.
Right. And you hit the nail on the head with that one. With just they're a game plan offensive structure. Every single week, what they're going to do is they're going to look at a defense. They're going to try to basically manipulate them in some manner, or they're going to find a weak spot and you're going to attack that weak spot. And so for a guy like Cam Newton, whether or not he wins the job and beats out Jared Stidham, I don't know. That's still an untold story. At the same time, I know that even if he doesn't, they're going to create packages for Cam Newton that teams are going to have to go in and they're going to have to work on it throughout the course of the week, whether it's RPOs or it's a run-specific type offensive structure that they do with Cam. And so it just adds a whole other dynamic to that offensive structure when you're going up them, and it's going to give defensive fits because you can't just prepare for one type of offensive structure. I guarantee they're going to have different packages that work Cam Newton in there and just put the emphasis on him and make sure that the defenses across the league have to prepare for that as well, which is really tough.
Matt Cassel joining us, 7th round pick by the Patriots in 05, 2008, helped lead the Patriots at 11-5 season and didn't make the playoffs. And later that offseason, he and Mike Vrabel were traded to Kansas City, where Cassel signed the 6-year $62 million deal. So in a normal situation, how much behind the curve is Cam going into a team a few weeks before training camp? And then I know while it'd be tough to answer, now throw in the fact that he can't even meet with anybody physically until camp starts.
Right. It's been a weird offseason, I'm sure, for everybody, and especially for Cam Newton, who obviously just signed with the team. And anytime you have such a short notice and short time period before you start, it's going to be a cram session, and it's going to be difficult because, you know what, the offensive structure itself and the terminology and all those things and the onus that they put on the quarterback to point out the mic. When I say that, I mean point out the middle linebacker and make calls at the line of scrimmage and set up your protection. There's a lot of emphasis on the quarterback to get that correct. So he's definitely going to be starting from behind, and he needs to get caught up as soon as possible. But like you said, it's going to be difficult. This season will be very difficult, because even with Jared Sinham, he's been able to do meetings and stuff, but he hasn't been able to practice and go through OTAs and develop like you normally would going into your second season.
Just so people can kind of understand, when you went from New England to Kansas City, and you guys won the division that year, but just the switch from New England to Kansas City, just kind of let everybody know how difficult it is of learning a brand new offense.
It's really difficult. It always is. It's because there's a lot of crossover terminology, whether it's a route pattern or whether it's a protection scheme and how they want to slide to this guy, or they want to go to, you know, they want you to redirect the protection this way. There's a lot that goes into it. But more impressively is just making it become second nature to you when you get up to the line of scrimmage and you're able to digest what you just said. Because so many times, like I said, when you're first learning a playbook, you're going, wait, does that mean this? Or you're second guessing yourself and the structure of it and all that. And then it just takes time and repetition and time on task. But it's always challenging to go into a new offensive scheme.
Matt Castle with us, former Patriots quarterback, sort of giving us some perspective on what Cam Newton is going to be ready to roll and do if he's the starting quarterback, and we all believe he will be, for the 2020 season. But let me ask you this, Matt, because we're all saying, well, this is a one-and-done contract, and then Cam can sign as a free agent, blah, 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 blah. He's 31. He's in the prime of his career. What about the possibility that Cam Newton and Josh McDaniels click and things work? What are the odds, in your opinion, that if he has a very successful season, that Cam Newton may say, maybe this is a really good place for me to stay? And he signs and becomes a long-term solution at quarterback for the Patriots as opposed to a one-year rental.
Well, there's no doubt about it. If he goes out there and performs and has a great relationship and rapport with Josh McDaniels and does all the things that he needs to do, I can't imagine that a team like New England, who is looking for the next Tom Brady, and I'm not saying that Cam Newton's trying to go in there and be the next Tom Brady, but what I'm saying is a next franchise guy that's going to continue to lead this organization down the right path. Cam Newton's shown that he's capable of doing that. He's obviously done it in the past with Carolina, and so if he goes out and performs, there's no doubt in my mind that that could be a long-term landing spot for Cam Newton.
I mean, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah.
You could do a lot worse.
Right.
Matt, exactly. Listen, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your perspective on this morning, because this is going to be a signing and a discussion point from now, I think, until the end of the season, based on how it all plays out. Thanks for being with us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Have a good one.
You too, man.
It's interesting. If that does happen, think about the quarterbacks that got drafted that – you think maybe could be the next Jimmy Garoppolo traded away, albeit
begrudgingly.
Jacoby Brissett traded away. What happens if this does happen and he signs a deal? Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah.
You know, all we've talked about last 2 months, all right, is Jarrett Stidham's team. He's ready to go, ready to get his shot. And now this happens, and if it works, like you said, and you spin it forward, and they say, okay, we want to keep him around for a few more years, it's another drafted quarterback that kind of goes by the wayside.
Or take it one step further. What if it works out so well that Cam stays and Tom has a bad year in Tampa and walks and decides, yeah, we're done?
Or what if New England and Tampa Bay meet in the Super Bowl?
Bum, bum, bum. Well, of course that won't happen, because Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes has
something. Oh, boy, there we go.
Coming up next, why the Cam Newton signing is a win-win and who else turned in a win this weekend.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you. So we do this every Monday, and thankfully it's getting easier because sports are actually being played about who won the weekend. May I suggest the potential for Cam Newton to have won the weekend, and here's why. We just had our fine researcher look up Matt Cassel's contracts after his 11-5 start. We just talked to Matt Cassel last segment. He filled in for Bill Belichick, for Tom Brady after he injured his knee week one, toward the ACL. So he played week one through most of that game and then went on and started the rest of the games that season. Well, Cam Newton signed a one-year incentive-laden contract with the New England Patriots. But let's say he plays well. What are the possibilities? Well, just translate these into 2020 dollars, okay? Here are the contracts that Matt Cassel signed after going 11-5
right
in the 2008 season with the Patriots. His first contract after that, 6 years, $63 million in 2009 with the Chiefs. Vikings, 2 years, $10 million after that. With the Bills, 1 year, $2 million. With the Titans, 1 year, $2 million. With the Titans, 2 years, $5.5 million. And that's in 2009 through 2017 dollars. So if Cam Newton goes out and plays well, he can cash in mightily either with New England
right.
or with some other team because he would be a free agent. So that's what's at stake financially. If you extrapolate that to what the dollars are now, even though the cap may go down a little bit or stay flat going into 2020, he still has a potential because he's only 31.
He's only 31.
Make a bleep ton of money if he plays well this year.
We're seeing quarterbacks play later and later, and 31 would be considered, I guess, on the I don't know about young, but certainly not where that used to be toward the end of your career. It's not that way anymore.
I think you could look at another 4 or 5 years easy.
Now, but you do have to throw in health. Also, since he's been in the league, he has been hit over 1,200 times. Yeah. The next closest is Russell Wilson at over 900 times.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a 300 difference of getting hit. And this dude gets hit and doesn't get the calls. I mean,
he gets Shaq attacked.
He's the Shaq of the NFL where, hey, sorry, dude, you're so big, you know, we're just not going to call it. Ben gets hit a lot, but Ben stays in the pocket.
Right.
Cam will take off and run and he'll take shots that you're like, okay, in this day and age, I mean, they're throwing the flag for ridiculous things and he's getting smoked and there's no flag. I mean, it's almost at a point of laughable at times, the hits he takes for what they're throwing flags on and not throwing flags on him. So you're going to have that fine line of how much he runs. You know, you're going to use his legs. You can't do it. You're not going to bring in Cam Newton and say you're going to be a pocket passer now.
Yeah.
Because A, he can struggle at that point as well with his completion percentage. And B, that's just the so much more he can put pressure on a defense. Because let me tell you, knowing as a defensive player from a pass rush, knowing that your guy can escape the pocket from the back seven, knowing what happens to your coverage if a quarterback escapes the pocket and gets more time can be devastating to your defense. So that, and that is a weapon. Oh, by the way, I know Tom's going to go down as the GOAT in a certain way. This guy is a different type of quarterback. Be very different for his offensive line. He's used to knowing exactly where the quarterback is.
Right.
Now it's not like they'll block it different.
No.
But the guys they're blocking may come off of them a little quicker and they're going, oh yeah,
we got
a quarterback that's taken off now.
All right. So I brought this up a couple of times, that Jacoby Brissett start in 2016. There were 8 design quarterback runs. Over under 7 design quarterback runs in the game plan for the Patriots going forward. What do you think?
I don't know if there'll be that many. I think a lot will depend on the game, but I get what you're saying, like the average of doing that. So that's what, 100 and in the teens of runs?
You're so good.
Designed runs, let alone just running on scrambling alone. I could see him getting over 100 rushes, both by combined runs and just escaping the pocket and taking off. I could see definitely over 100 for sure, but you don't want to get too crazy with it as well. But you just think of Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniel and what things they can come up with to put pressure, even if they aren't going to run something, the threat of running something. This is when you put things, you run them in a game, maybe just once at times. And what you do is you put it on film. Now the next team you play, the next two teams,
they got to worry about it.
They got to look at it and prepare for that as well. So you do that as well. Just to try and, I don't want to say bluff your way through
right.
it, but give them more to have to defend.
Every time they're preparing for that, they're taking away from something else. So it's a war of addition by subtraction. All right, so clearly Cam Newton could be qualified as who won the weekend. The other ones are up there, the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Mississippi, the state of Mississippi for finally agreeing to get rid of that Confederate symbol on the state flag, Kylan Hill, the running back for Ole Miss, who really lit the the torch there. By the way, we didn't even talk about the unbelievable UFC fight Saturday night. That Sam Hooker Dustin Poirier fight was unbelievable.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
It was unbelievable. Kylan Hill was Mississippi State, not Ole Miss. I apologize. He was Mississippi State. That fight was the fight of the year between those two.
That was really good.
They were throwing haymakers the entire
time.
They were.
Then you have Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, who went 1-2, 1-2. Yeah. They just switched the order Saturday and Sunday. So if you give it to one of them, you almost have to give it to both of them.
Correct.
Right? And then Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, that's an ugly $1.3 million. Oh, wait. There's no such thing as an ugly $1.3 million.
As he won the Travelers on the easiest course on the PGA Tour.
Just smoked that drive on 18. Yeah, 351 yards.
Could you imagine?
Yes, I can imagine it.
We'd have to hit the cart path like DeChambeau. Bison DeChambeau.
Beef hamburger. His was 415 with a road rash.
Can you imagine what that ball looked like? It just bounced and rolled down the track.
351 striped down the middle. As soon as he hit that drive, I'm like, this tournament's over. Because he needed a bogey for there to be a playoff with him and Kevin Streelman.
Almost had the birdie.
Yeah.
To end it, just to tap in.
So who are you going with?
Well, I think outside of sports, I would say Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, for what went on there and how quickly they came to that decision. From a sports side of it, I think I have to go Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to help the Patriots win. And I think he, because went from a lot of teams would be maybe up for him, or at least a few teams that would want to sign him right away, to, oh my God, is he going to have to wait till a quarterback gets hurt? To now sign, but then sign with the Patriots and that system. So I think this could be a big win for his not only career now, but the future as well.
Absolutely. Outside of sports, 100% I'm with you on the state of Mississippi. Inside of sports, I'm going to go Bill Belichick as much as Cam Newton, because he waited and did what he always does. Pennies on the dollar. And Cam Newton may play well, and he may decide to stay there, or may go get paid somewhere else, because that's what Bill does better. When he has you cheap, he'll get the best out of you, and then when you're ready to get paid, thanks so much. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk to Booger McFarland about this, plus the most pessimistic analyst in all of sports, our own Buster Olney, 0-5%. See ya, Buster!
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.